Should you buy a new car or a second-hand car? It's an age-old conundrum that car buyers in developed economies have faced, and now it's become a question for Chinese car buyers too. Neither answer is right or wrong, I guess. It all depends on your wants, needs, budget, and appetite for risk. But how would you feel if your second-hand Ferrari, that sports car, okay, survived a car fire crash and you only found out after making the transaction, as did a Mr. Feng in Chongqing in China. So Lai Ming, what is his story?
Well, this Mr. Feng in Chongqing spent 2.6 million yuan to buy a second-hand Ferrari car this May the 31st. And when he drove the car, test drove the car, he found that the feedback and sound from the engine sounded a little strange. And at first, he thought it was probably some small problem with the car battery, and he didn't give much thought about it. And however, a few months later, Feng decided to sell the car. By the end of September, he took the car to an automobile dealer to evaluate the price. When the dealer told him that there might be some problems with the car and suggested Feng to find a professional organization to have an overall check of the car. That's when Feng realized, after a local automobile appraisal and evaluation company told him that it was a car which had suffered from a fire. But got some of the parts exchanged later, and then as a result, Feng didn't dare to drive the car again. But is that the final solution? Just having spent 2.6 million yuan on a second-hand Ferrari car and never to drive it again, or never to sell it again? Obviously, Feng has to seek some kind of answers from whoever sold him the car initially, and therefore, Feng told a news portal, the paper.cn, that was the news organization based in Shanghai, on November the 4th, that the sales manager surnamed Jing showed him the maintenance record of the car before selling. So it's not like Feng was kept in the dark entirely. He was shown something. But there was also a sentence, and there was also a sentence in the second-hand car purchase contract stating that Feng had already been informed the conditions and maintenance records of the car. Only he wasn't informed that the car had been in the fire. Therefore, Feng had to sort of get in contact of a lawyer, and then also who would reach out to whoever that sold him the car initially, and the person responsible was responded to Feng's request and said they will look into the issue and will give Feng whatever answers he needed.
Okay, so basically this guy, he spent 2.6 million yuan. That's around 374,000 US dollars on the second-hand Ferrari, so a flashy sports car.
That's a lot of money to be spent on a second-hand car.
Yeah, so, yeah. Tony, I sense something from that sly smile. What do you think about this news story?
Well, somehow, I mean, it's unfortunate to pay this amount of money, but I'm not surprised. I just feel like...
second-hand Ferrari?
I am not surprised. I mean, it's a car salesman, and I mean, and where I'm from, it's just they are some of the most slippery salesmen ever. I mean, they will sell you anything, and it's unbelievable that this person paid this much money and didn't get all of the details. But it brings me back to my first car. For example, I had a convertible when I first got when I first started driving,
flashy.
And a month later, the check engine light came on, and the roof of the car actually ended up not completely blowing off, but like the material that held it together came off.
No.
And it was like, I was heartbroken, but at the same time, I realized that, you know, this is what they do. And it's like, it's very common in the US. It's not if they're going to get you, it's a matter of, you know, how they're going to do it. And it's very common. But, you know, I can understand why people buy used cars. I mean, you're definitely getting a deal here on the price. So in the case of Mr. Feng, he paid, if he would have bought a brand new Ferrari, he would have paid about 5 or 6 million yuan. So he got a really big discount.
For a car that survived a fire.
But if it was, you know, as of course, as a secondhand car, I mean, he got, well, yeah, he paid about, what, 2.6?
2.6.
So, yeah, it's about a 50% discount. He got to drive around in style for a while, but eventually there were some problems. And also, if you buy a brand new car, you know, the price is really high, but when you sell it later, you know, it depreciates really fast. And I think that's something else that people have to consider when they buy a brand new car is,
yeah,
the value, the minute you drive it off of the lot, at least in the U.S., it drops to about 40%. So it's definitely something you have to factor in. And in this case, you know, with the Ferrari, yeah, it's almost not worth it buying it, you know, used. It's probably better to buy it brand new because, yeah, if you sell it, you can at least get, you know, a reasonable return.
Yeah. Can I just add on to the depreciation point, please? Because, yeah, I've been there. You know, I own a car and my heart and my wallet is still bleeding till this day. My heart is bleeding because whenever I think about it, let's say you spent 100,000 yuan on this vehicle and there's emotional attachment to it, right? Mm. As you do your research, pick the car model, the color, what this car stands for, the lifestyle you envision for yourself, and all that. After all that decision, you decide on this car, right? And I know some guys give their cars a name. Sometimes it's often the name of a girl.
So it's no longer it, it's her.
Yeah, and for me, you might think that it's my him, right? But I think she is also a female in my mind. So yeah, there's this emotional attachment. And what's more for Chinese people, I feel, because we are a society that only have gotten a little bit richer in the last 3 decades. So this is often the first car for the family, for whoever in the family that's owned a car. That's a big thing. So usually we go for a new one, right? And it becomes a status symbol for some people. It becomes some sort of validation that you have achieved something. So it's complicated for Chinese people, all right? And here comes the depreciation. Like Tony has just mentioned, the minute you drive it out of the dealer's lot, and then the price, the value drops by 20-30% at least. Mm-hmm. And then after 3 years, remember that 100,000 yuan you paid? 3 years later, that's pretty much gone, most of it. And it is the amount of money that you will never, ever get back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not available for you to get anything else. So just think about that. My heart and my wallet are both bleeding, okay? So that's the new car. And
I know. That's why a lot of people would go for secondhand cars. It makes a lot of sense because if you look at the price of a new brand new car, the only thing that's close in comparison would be property, real estate. And
but
in the place of a real estate, there are chances that it will appreciate in time. Whereas when you own a car, when you spend money on a new car, and chances are you're never going to get the money back. And actually, the chances are you're going to keep spending money on having it maintained.
Lai Ming, you are such a dear friend of mine, and what a way to kick me when I am down. Yes, oops. My car has, I'm not going to reveal her name on national radio, but she's a sweet one in my mind, and I've had her for a little bit, and I think she's aging a little bit now. I need to pay more to maintain, and that's a huge amount of expense.
Talk
for
about
me.
Thousands. Mm.
At least that's where it starts. And then, you know, after the car has maybe 40,000 kilometers in mileage, then yeah, there are going to be pieces that are, you know, wearing and tearing. So you got to replace them. That's everything. Just they charge you by the thousands. Mm. That's what I want to say here. And Lai Ming.
Uh-huh.
Yes. When you own a house, that's a completely different story. A house, and the price rarely depreciates, actually, in most situations here in China. It at least you keep the value, right? And it might even shoot up. But with the car, it's the opposite of a story.
Mm. Well, I think that people definitely need to be careful, especially with used cars. And again, there's just been cases back in the States on things that have happened with, you know, secondhand car salesmen. And there was back in 2001, there was this really infamous case, according to the New York State Attorney General's office. There was a court case against a Dave's Green Automotive. And this institution violated numerous consumer protection laws and deceived customers into, you know, paying top dollar for high mileage vehicles with rolled back odometers. He also failed to honor repair claims under warranty, routinely made false representations about the numbers, you know, the numerous owners that own the car. And I mean, just countless violations. And many of the car dealer, you know, they deceive a lot of people into believing that the car is fully warranted and have, you know, bumper to bumper warranties, and then, yeah, fail to deliver.
But how could they do that? I mean, isn't there a mature system of, say, vehicle identification, that sort of thing,
right,
going on in the U.S.? Because I also look into buying a second-hand car in the U.S. during my stay in Washington, D.C. I came close to buying a used car, say, something seemed fishy, and the seller ran away. they refused to come to a public place in the back to finish the deal. I had the money all and everything ready, and they just refused to come into the back to finish the deal, and that's when I know it was fishy. But during my tremendous homework into how to get a secondhand car in the US, I realized that there are services that you can turn to make sure that you are getting what you wanted. Mm. For instance, there's this company called CarMax. That's basically an information
Very
website
famous, right,
that you can spend money to buy the service to look at the record of the car of a car that you wanted to buy. And I spend more than $20 on Carfax to find out more details about the car that I was about to buy. And every service record of the car was registered in the car report, mm-hmm, based on the vehicle identification number. Mm-hmm. So there's one unique number attached to every car. And every time the car is serviced, every time you have an oil change, every time you get, I'm not necessarily familiar with the maintenance of a car, but anytime you have something done to your car at a body shop,
right,
the mechanic is supposed to record that process and have it added to the information. And when people are buying the cars, they can sort of go to websites like Carfax. Mm-hmm. I think there are other companies offering that the same service. But anyway, they can go to those websites and spend money to have the information checked. I'm not sure. And there are also certain companies called, for instance, CarMax, the company that's focusing on selling and collecting used cars. And they offer some kind of guarantee to the cars you are buying from them. Mm-hmm. Not for instance, when you buy from, say, just a simple car dealer. Because sometimes when you go to car dealer and they withhold information from you, and also in some cases in a car lottery or in a car auction, they tag the cars as being sold as is.
Right.
As is means they don't provide any kind of warranty or quality warranty. Whatever you get, there are probably problems. They may or
Definitely.
May not tell you, but when you buy them, that's your problems.
As soon as you drive off on the lot, the tire could fall off.
Yeah.
And
oh, no.
You would be responsible for it. Well, those are called spiffs, apparently, in the trade. Apparently, every car dealership has cars that they, you know, that their leadership is pushing them to get rid of, and they get incentives for selling them too. So a lot of times, if you don't do your research, like Lai Ming, it seems like before you went in, you looked up, you went to CarMax, you did the research. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't do that, mm-hmm, and so they fall victim or prey to a lot of these ruthless used car salesmen. And so yes. It's a really, I guess you could say, the culture of used car salesmen. It's not good, and they have a really bad reputation in the United States. So a lot of, I think, if it's, there's a definitely an indication that this could happen here. So I think a lot of people should definitely watch out.
Yeah, a lot of common tricks, like Tony just mentioned, rolling back the odometer, sort of, because we know that once cars have driven, for instance, 100,000 kilometers, their price depreciate drastically compared to cars that haven't, compared to cars that probably have just driven for instance, 60,000 kilometers, because there's a huge discrepancy between the two, and in many cases the mechanics or the car dealers, they would try and fix the clock and just sort of tell you that maybe this is a brand new car or this is a car that hasn't been driven too much and therefore charging a higher price.
And another reason why I believe they do that is because a lot of times if you're buying a newer vehicle, newer meaning within the last 5 years, it's normally covered under warranty under the maker, especially if it's under, say, 100,000 miles. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of makers will warranty it up to that point. But after that point, it's pretty much gone, and you know, you're pretty much riding at your own risk.
Yeah, your own risk and luck by the sound of it. But one thing I find quite interesting is that in a more mature market like the U.S., that there is actually a website or a place that you can check this information. Uh-huh. And you'll see a pretty detailed history of a record for this car. And that's great. Even with that, there are going to be problems that you can't detect. That's just like the...
Assuming they put all of the work into the system.
Exactly. And considering some of the cars can be a little bit older in the U.S., then, entering that all that information in can be, not sufficient.
And there's also the accident reports. Once a car is in a serious accident and is driven to a body shop, the body shop is supposed to record that. And for some reason, if the car is sent to a questionable body shop with mechanics who just didn't record that, then that part of information didn't end up in the car report that you can get. Even if you've spent money on Carfax, you wouldn't be able to get that.
Right. Well, and also with used cars, especially after the initial X amount of years of warranty, then you don't know what happens after that, and there's going to be a lot of expenses that's going to pile up to upkeep that car. So that's definitely one downside of a pre-owned car that the potential buyer should consider. And now when you look at the Chinese market, I remember when we first started doing this show, there was so much talk about buying vehicles and the problems with the car ownership, that kind of thing. And now we see that the Chinese car market has changed a bit. Yeah. And now we see a booming second-hand or pre-owned car business in China that, according to a report looking at online consumers of used cars published by the China Automobile Dealers Association, a total of 10.29 million second cars have been bought in China in just the first three quarters in 2018, and that's an increase by almost 13% compared to the same period of last year. And that figure has already surpassed 82% of the total transaction in the year before. So it's a year-on-year climb, pretty much.
It's a booming market. So it seems like everywhere you go, you see those ads for instance, Zhenren Chua or the Tanga Chua or
what's the other one?
Yeah, so everywhere you go, it seems to have happened in just the past year or two. And I think before that, I don't see that platforms as often as possible as I do now. I mean, previously perhaps those transactions were conducted on, say, Wu Ba Tong Cheng, the citywide service marketplace.
Yeah.
But now that we have special platforms and website designed for those services.
Yeah, that's definitely a shrewd observation. And I think this can only have made possible because of the first generation of car owners, right? And after owning their cars for more than 5 years, and maybe they want to sell it and get another one or something like that. So now there is this market. And also what's really interesting is, Lai Ming, all those platforms that you just cited, they're all online platforms. Mm-hmm. So this is very unique happening here in China right now. That is this booming second-hand car market, and it only exists online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the selling point is that we are cutting the middleman. Or one of the platforms, they say we charge only 1% commission fee. There seems to be a very lucrative business in promising the consumers that we are cutting the middleman. We are making sure that whatever you're getting have been assessed and evaluated. We're making sure that no one is getting into the business of making money out of you but us.
In theory, that works, but...
Yeah, it seems a bit risky. It just depends on what services that this company is providing. And I think when you're purchasing a used vehicle, it's very important that, well, one, that you know the ownership history, but also it's good to see papers on what services have been done and if those companies will provide services. For example, if a car needs a checkup where they run through all of the systems and they can see what's wrong with the vehicle. I think that this is very important, especially for used vehicles, because if this is not performed, then I think a lot of people will end up stepping into or purchasing a vehicle that has a collection of faults and could possibly, you know, break down the minute you buy it. So I think that it's very important that, you know, these companies offer some type of service where they can, you know, guarantee that, you know, the vehicle was serviced at this point, this date, and that the tires have been rotated and they're not going to, you know, fall off the minute you drive off the lot.
Well, the good news is at least we know there are multiple platforms that is trying to make a profit out of this market, and perhaps in time the competition will drive them, and also in time with the customers becoming more savvy about getting cars, these platforms will feel obliged or obligated to provide better service. I mean, certainly a company that can guarantee that whatever cars that they're selling on their platforms have been through, for instance, more than a dozen of evaluation processes, will certainly be able to win the hearts of much more consumers than, say, a simple car dealer in a godforsaken place in the suburb of Beijing, obviously.
Yeah, that is a good point. And we see that there are, I think some major voice that needs some filling, including, well, where do you get the history of the record of the car? And also, objective third-party appraisals, do they exist, or where did we find them? I think that information is really important, too. And, yeah, like Lai Ming said, now it's just fierce competition amongst these new platforms that are pretty young, and I think there just sounds to be like a lot of research that needs to be done, and preferably to have a person that knows cars with you to examine the car, maybe.
Absolutely. You have to have a mechanic or someone who's has experience in cars.
That'd be so helpful.
Because most of us, you know, who don't actually work around cars, it's difficult to know if something has been inside of water, for example, that experienced a flood. There could be a lot of, you know, it could be a nasty odor inside the car, and also there could be mold. And there's just a lot of things that can happen with a vehicle that people who are not sensitive to will just miss it and end up, you know, purchasing something.
Yeah, Katrina cars is a huge deal in the secondhand market in the U.S. back in a few years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cars that have been soaking water because of the Katrina's hurricane.
Yeah. We certainly need more sunlight, so to speak. Some transparency when it comes to information, asymmetry, a situation like this. You're listening to Roundtable